This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth on Mix 94.5.
We now are joined by Tanya Armstrong from the Dead Set Legends and the Triple M Footy Coach. She rides the boundary and does an amazing job of it. Good to have you on the show, Tanya.
Hey, Tan.
Hi, guys.
Now, look, I need to ask, were Freo really, really that bad, or was West Coast really, really that good?
That's a really tough question to start with, Pete. West Coast were really, really good in the first quarter, and it was pretty much game over then. So it was a pretty lackluster Western Derby, wasn't it?
It was a bit
rough. Down on the boundary line, and it's great when there's no injury, but there's not a lot to talk about. But yeah, I think West Coast were pretty determined to come out and bounce back from that big loss to Hawthorn. You know, when you get called mummies, boys, and pretenders, and flat track bullies, probably fires you up a bit. So I think they were fired up a bit. And the Dockers have been up for 3 weeks. They've been very good. So I guess the bubble burst, didn't it?
Yes.
Unfortunately for you, Pete.
In a big, big way. just speaking about potential injuries, I mean, it was an injury in the end, but it was certainly something that was reported on. That was half his luck. And that was Nat Fyfe with that elbow to Elliot Yeo, and Yeo going down. Now, Ross Lyon seems to think that the match review panel will clear him of anything. What are your thoughts?
Well, he's been fined $1,000 today, so Nat Fyfe, he won't be suspended. That's the good news for Fremantle fans. But, yeah, you sort of couldn't blame him. Elliot Yeo was behind him, and he was sort of hanging off him at a ball up, and Fyfe swung the elbow back. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I said it looked like an accident to me. So it was labelled careless conduct and low impact to the head, even though Elliot sort of dropped to the ground and held his head for a while. He kept playing on, so... good news for Fyfe that it's a $1,500 fine, but if he takes it, it's down to $1,000. So I reckon he can afford that.
It's so weird. Either you did it and you didn't, you're off, or you're not. But you're down there close to them. Is there a bit of acting involved? I mean, do they do it like he's hanging on until anyone would go, get off me, and, you know, just sort of accident, and then they go down and like, oh, like a soccer player, and they're all hurt?
I think that's exactly how it happens.
Okay, thank
Get
you.
Off me.
Yes. Well, I mean, he's going to do it eventually, just sort of to shake you off, and you're going to get hurt, but you shouldn't have been hanging the whole time, should you?
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He does get held onto, and he looks pretty frustrated to me throughout the whole match, Nat Fyfe. He was just missing out things by a split second. You know, you go to grab the ball and it was gone, and you could see he was getting frustrated. He gave a few free kicks away, which is a little bit unlike him. So I think he was just frustrated with how he was going. He's not playing as well as he would have liked, and he was definitely frustrated with how the team was going. So,
maybe he knew he was going to be in the news today.
Yeah, sure. This may very well be the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, but Nat Fyfe going to the Saints next season, apparently the deal is as good as done for $1.5 million a season. Come on.
I think that'll be close to the pay packet, but Fremantle always have the right to match any offer that's made to Nat Fyfe, so it's not going to be.
There was an offer made. It was.
Well,
where did this story come
apparently,
from?
Apparently just, not.
No,
it's been denied by Fyfe management. So, but yeah, Fremantle have the last rights to match any offer. So it's not going to happen in the space of a morning.
He's the captain.
You know, he decides to go somewhere.
You wouldn't expect, after they dropped Mundy as captain last season, given Fyfe the captaincy this season, right, that he'd go, thanks very much, guys. Really appreciate it. It was good fun and everything. But I'm going to be off to the Saints next season. I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. I think he will stay. I think getting the captaincy, it'll probably go towards keeping him here, whether he was thinking about going. But he said a number of times, look, I don't sign contracts until mid-year. I'm still trying to get back from a broken leg. My future is at the Fremantle Football Club. So all he hasn't done is sign. He's pretty much said, I'm staying. I'm not going anywhere. If it gets a distraction, I will sign. So,
what's a distraction? This is a new story. Any player that's good and has a contract ending in the foreseeable 12 months, they become the story of where might they go. Well, they just haven't signed their contract yet. Mind your own business. It's just so annoying.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's so much.
It's not about the football.
About, the pay packets that the players are going to be getting. He's probably waiting for that to be finalised, and then you know, then he will start talking. So,
but all anyone else needs to know is about the football for now.
Well, that's it.
Really, and that's his private business.
You know,
once upon a time, you didn't ask a person what they earned and what they have you signed your contract and
but
stuff.
To hear the words like the deal is done, like
see,
you know what I mean?
You're biting at it. Don't bite
you
at
want,
it.
But you want to be right. Other you'd look a bit silly. You know, anyway. Tanya, thank you.
Thanks,
Tan. No problem.
We'll catch you on the call again this weekend.
Yeah, we've got the Dockers versus Essendon. So Freo should bounce back Sunday afternoon at Domain Stadium.
About time you started treating us like adults. There's the question, should full-strength beer be served at the new Perth Stadium? I think it's a bit of a non-issue, you know, because it's just really about being an adult. We want to know if there's anything else around Perth.
They're going to do spearmint milkshakes. That's what I'm more interested in.
I love
spearmint
milkshakes.
No one does a good spearmint milkshake anymore. Let's have a debate over that.
Yeah, great idea. Okay. We'll do that maybe tomorrow because we've got to get to Ian in Spearwood. Now, mate, in this story.
Spearmint.
Good one. In this story, it said that only mid-strength beer is available at Domain Stadium, unless you're in the corporate boxes, but you're saying that you can buy full strengths and stuff.
No, no, well, not full-strength beer, but what a bunch of hypocrites. I can go there and drink 20 full-strength wines or Scotch and Cokes, and I can't have a full-strength beer.
Yeah, were actually talking about this off the air.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, Ian, you can go and you can come back with a tray with six half-strength beers in it and just whack them down one after the other. Just give the person one drink. It's so dumb. People do find their way around it.
Yeah,
yeah, well, the other thing is, though, you've got security on every bar there.
Yeah.
If you're intoxicated, they're not going to serve you. I mean, you know, if people enjoy full-strength beer and that's all they drink, why not let them drink while they can? Like I say, if you want to have a wine, you can have a wine. Mm. There's more alcohol in wine than there is in full-strength beer.
Yes.
Interesting point, mate. Thanks, Ian.
See you, Ian.
Mark in Nullumara, you disagree with me, mate.
Someone's got to, and I'm pretty sure you're just flat wrong.
I would like reasons. I would really appreciate reasons, well, so go for your life.
You know, put light-strength beer, mid-strength beer next to full-strength beer. You're there to enjoy a football game and drink a beer for the taste of the beer, not to drink to get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And the chap that was like, you know, wine is a full-strength beverage versus why can't I have a full-strength beer? Now, wine drinkers typically, let's put them in a good light here, would drink that wine to enjoy the drink, not to get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we doing as a society when the government or whoever needs to police this by going, let's pull it back a little bit, let's rein it in because of a minority.
Mark, you are speaking my language. It hurts my head so much that I've been having this argument for half my life now. Why can't they just get to the root of the problem?
Yeah,
there is that. But all we're doing is making the bar staff and security staff, their lives even harder.
Yeah, but Mark, I got to say, mate,
everywhere because of a minority, where a society doesn't go, mate, you don't need the other drink. You're a little intoxicated. As a society, we don't do that. We just go, oh, look, he's a bit drunk.
Granted, right? But I think if you're out there drinking to get drunk, regardless of whether you have a light strength beer or a mid strength beer,
16 drinking to get drunk.
Hang on a second. Regardless of whether you have a light or a mid strength beer, mate, if you're out there and your purpose is to get drunk, you're going to drink enough of them to get drunk. And this is where my argument is, right? If I'm just there to enjoy my beer, I should be able to enjoy a full-strength beer because I'm an adult and I'm not there to drink to get drunk. But these people who are there to drink to get drunk, it doesn't matter what strength beer they've got. They're there to get drunk. You won't stop them.
No, you won't stop
you
them.
You can't enjoy a mid-strength beer is what you're saying?
I can.
Just sit back and go, oh, this is actually a nice beer for the sake of enjoying a beer at the football.
I can, mate, and that's my point. I can because I'm adult enough to be able to say that I'm here to enjoy this drink because I want to enjoy the drink and watch the footy. And I can do that. I should be able to do that because I'm past the age of 18.
What we would love is for people who are going out, adults who are going out to drink to get drunk, we'd rather they stayed home, okay? And the rest of us who just went out and accompanied our life with a drink would be nice. It's a grown-up society we live in, Mark.
It is.
Good on you, mate. Appreciate you calling.
Thanks for your time, guys.
Thanks, mate. Joined by Mark Holden, whose memoir is out this month. It's called My Idol Years. You had your 20s, then it was a quiet patch, and then Idol comes out of nowhere. I really want to get into your head about that moment that somebody gave you a call and said, hey, there's this new reality TV concept.
Okay, well,
from...
I'd come back to Australia and I really wasn't sure what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back and did my law degree at that point again.
Yeah.
Because I had to pretty much start again. And then in the middle of that, I did Hey Hey It's Saturday. And a guy called Jack Strom produced Brett yes. Faces. Well, I knew Jack from Channel 9 in the early days and Ernie. Mm. And at the end of it, he said, why don't we do something together? And I said, cool, why don't you just take me around? And I'm sure, you know, working here at Channel 9, you must have some, you know, names in your book of people we can go and have a look. So we went around and had a look at all these people. I didn't like any of them. And then we were sitting in his house and his fax machine repairman. Remember things called faxes?
Yes, yes, I do.
His fax
popular at Christmas parties, yes.
Yeah. Exactly. His fax machine repairman said, there's this girl at Matryoshka's restaurant on Dandenong Road in Melbourne. You should go and see her. She's 16. Mm-hmm. So we did, and I heard Vanessa sing with this Russian band, and I went, wow.
Oh, this is Vanessa Amorosi.
Yes,
and
we found Vanessa Amorosi.
And she's magic,
And then she's totally magic.
Yeah.
And then we had all these hits. We were over in Germany doing Top of the Pops in Germany because we had a number of hits in Germany. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of being on Top of the Pops in Germany, I got this call from the executive producer. And he said, you know, I can't tell you what it is, but would you be interested in coming back to television? And I immediately knew it was because Idol was a huge hit in Germany already at that point.
Right.
And it had been on in England, but it had failed in England for some reason.
Yes.
But it took off.
And you got to get up earlier in the morning to get one over you as well.
Yes. And I mean,
you're onto it. Yep.
I immediately knew what it was, and I said, look, I'm in. I'd love to do that. I'd love to do that. Then they did a bit of a screen test with me and Dicko and Marsha, and we were a great team, really. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, Dicko bailed on us and went to Channel 7 and failed miserably over there and came back with his tail between his legs and managed to convince me to help him get back in and then replaced me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to pry too much into it, but there seems to be no love lost there between you two since
I'm at peace with him now in the sense that, you know, it's 10 years after the fact. Mm. At the time, the book is written in real time. So the guts of the book is that year 2007, the last year of Idol,
mm-hmm.
when I didn't know it was my last year, but when we were absolutely killed by Kath and Kim, and Kath and Kim went up against us and just mm-hmm. destroyed us, and it just became a very ugly, you know, if you've been at a radio station where things aren't going well,
yes.
Or if your listener's been in their job place and there's some problem around the job place, you know how painful it is.
People start to jump the ship.
I was writing it down in real time without reflection and just writing it down as the blows happened. But now, in the, you know, with 10 years past, you know, I just go, look, Dicko just outmaneuvered me. He was a better chess player. He was a corporate mastermind. He knew how to walk the halls and corridors of power, and I didn't. And
it was one of those moments that was going to have, it was, you know, groundbreaking, was always going to have a big, you know, sort of dramatic ending, however it was going to end, that sort of breaking up of the three. And this is what's so fascinating, I think, about the book. It's a book of firsts that you were there for all of them, and just a really interesting look through the history of it all.
I do talk about my relationship with the Hoff, and for, I know it's a bit of a, look, I thought I'd treated him, you know, I mean, I didn't really say anything that wasn't public knowledge, really, but it was my own personal relationship with him. And he just wrote to me this morning and was a bit upset. So that's upsetting to me because I love the man. You know, I mean, I really do love the man. But you know, he had some wild times at that time too. and they're all public. It's all in the public domain. I mean, everyone knows, you know, from the hamburger video what the state of his life was at that point. And he's beaten it, you know, to his great credit.
Yeah.
He's overcome that, and unfortunately he's just a tiny bit annoyed with me at the moment.
Gee whiz, mate.
So you've heard from the Hoff. Have you heard from Dicko at all?
Yes, I have, and he's you know, he just said, you know, oh, look, I'm giving him too much credit. He's not Machiavellian. That was his response. But the truth is, he outmaneuvered me, outplayed me, and replaced me. And that it's a dog eat dog world in showbiz, and it's a, you know, and he won that battle. That's the truth of it.
Wowee, mate. It's look, it's, you know, if this chat is anything to go by, startlingly honest.
So much in the book. Yeah.
There's going to be heaps in the book that you can actually go out and go and have a look.
Mother's
at
Day and... present, folks. Come
absolutely.
On.
Mark Holden's memoir, My Idle Years, $30, and it's out now. Mate, a real pleasure chatting to you. Thank
Good
you so much
guys.
For your time.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks a lot. All the best.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5.